Good morning. We welcome you to the service this morning. We have visitors with us, and we're glad that you're here. We hope that you will come back as you have an opportunity and give us a chance to visit with you a little bit after services this morning. We would love to meet you. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 15, Mark chapter 15, in just a moment, we will read a scripture there to introduce our lesson. Have you ever been forced to do something you didn't want to do? Have you ever been forced to do something you did not want to do? That may not happen much in our lives. Maybe it has in the past. But there are people who are forced to do things that they don't want to do. And there are people right now that are being forced by others to do terrible things. We have modern-day slavery, and we don't want to talk about it. It's a hush-hush topic, but it goes on, and it's in our own country. There are women that are enslaved to do despicable things, and it goes on in our own country. There are others who are forced to do things that they don't want to do. Maybe you have been forced at work to do something that you don't normally do because maybe a coworker is not doing their job. Maybe you've been forced to do something at school or in some other way. As you think about that, I want you to ask yourself, how do you view your service to Christ today? Do you view it as something that is forced, or do you view it as something that is voluntary? We need to love the Lord so much that we volunteer for His service, not feeling forced. I want to talk this morning about Simon of Cyrene and how he was pressed in the service. There's two ways you can do something. You can do it because you're forced to do it, or you can do it because you voluntarily choose to do that. Sometimes if we let health issues go too long, we're forced to deal with it and take care of it. Sometimes if we let money matters go too long, we're forced to deal with it rather than voluntarily dealing with it. When it comes to our service to Christ, we need to voluntarily take up our cross. Because Jesus invites us to do that, and because we love Him, and we want to do that, not because we're forced to. I want to read Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 16. Mark 15, beginning in verse 16. And the soldiers led him, Jesus, away within the court, which is the praetorium, and they called together the whole band or cohort. And they clothed him with purple, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote his head with a reed and spat upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off him the purple from him and put on him his garments, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compel one passing by, Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to go with them, that he might bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull, and they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And they crucified him and parted his garments among them, casting lots upon them, which each should take. As Jesus went out bearing his own cross, John tells us that for a while Jesus was bearing his own cross. After a little while, he could no longer do that because he had been beaten and had already lost strength and blood during the period of the trial. He was weakened and was not able to carry that. If you look on the PowerPoint here, this is a common depiction of a cross. Although probably what was likely the case was the upright beam was already in the ground or at the place of the crucifixion, and Jesus was simply carrying the cross beam Either way, Jesus could not carry that. And he fell under that weight. And the Romans pressed into service a man named Simon of Cyrene to bear it after him. I chose the Mark account because Mark adds a couple of things that I find are interesting. This morning I want us to consider our service to Christ. Do we feel like we're pressed into service, coerced and forced, as Simon was? Or are we here this morning voluntarily? Are we here because we love the Lord? The scripture says that a man was passing by. A man was passing by. His name was Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is on the northern coast of Africa. It's in the modern country of Libya. You may recall that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 10, there were some from Cyrene on the day of Pentecost. You may recall in Acts chapter 11 that there were certain Christians from Cyrene who had gone to Antioch to help the church start there. You may recall in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, the church at Antioch had teachers, and some of them were from Cyrene. But this Simon of Cyrene, notice in the text of verse 21 that he was two things. He was passing by, and he was from the country. He may have been there for the Passover feast, but he's walking through the streets. He's passing by. And we'll make a point on that in just a minute. But the text says that the Romans compelled him, my version says. Some versions say pressed into service. The word that is used here means to be forced to do something. Simon was made to do this. He didn't get up that day expecting to do this. He didn't get up that day knowing that he would do this. He's just passing by. But the Greek word means to literally to impress, to press into. You're made to do this. Matthew 27 and verse 32 also mentions this very thing. If you turn to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32, the text says, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled or pressed to go with them that he might bear his cross." I remember times growing up when I was a child that I was forced by my father to do things because I didn't want to do that. And there may be a time, young people who hear me this morning, there may be a time in your life when you're real little where as parents or as grandparents, we make our children do certain things. We need to. We need to make them do certain things. When they're real little, they need to be taught to behave. But after a while, we want to get to the point with our parents that we willingly do that. There may be a time in life when we're real little where we're forced to do something, but we want to get to the point where we mature and grow and we willingly do that. This is the word that is used in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41 where Jesus said, if you're asked to do to go 1 mile, go 2. If you're compelled to go 1 mile, the Roman soldier could come up to someone and because of their power and authority, they could compel others maybe to carry some of his armor or carry something that he wanted to carry. Whosoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. The Romans had a way of doing that because they could throw their weight around and their authority around. Simon was forced to carry the cross. But another word is also used. If you'll turn with me to Luke's account in Luke chapter 23, the text says that these Roman soldiers came up to Simon and they laid hold on him. They seized him and they made him do this. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. And when they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene coming from the country and laid on him the cross to bear it after Jesus. This is used other places in the book of Acts with Paul, for example. Different times he was seized against his will. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was seized. So I asked the question this morning, how do you feel about your service? Is your service to Christ forced or is it voluntary? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about being here this morning? How do you feel about your giving? We just had a contribution a while ago. How do you feel about that when you put the money in the plate? How did you feel about that? How do we feel about attendance? How do we feel about daily Bible reading? How do we feel about prayer? What's the feeling that's going through your mind and heart? Is it more of a I have to? Or is it more of I get to? We are so blessed. We were talking about that this morning in the Bible class. God blesses us in so many ways. We are so blessed to have these spiritual blessings in Christ. But is it and I have to, or I get to. I want us to think this morning about the importance of voluntarily bearing our cross, not being forced to carry it. When I think of Simon of Cyrene, I think about a good man. We don't know much more about him in Scripture. Mark tells us, if you turn back to the Mark account, that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. There may be something to that. We're not definitive about it, but likely the fact that Mark mentions their names, he probably expects his readers there in Rome to know who these men are. Maybe they were Christians. Maybe they were members of the church. And so he's identifying the father of Alexander and Rufus. There is a certain Rufus in Romans chapter 16 that Paul greets. He was a member of the church at Rome. We don't know if it's the same man. If it was, then maybe this Simon was his father. And there are some interesting connections there. But what we know about him is that he was willing to serve the Lord. Let me mention a few side points, and then I want us to look this morning at our main point, and that is, we don't want to feel forced, brother. We don't want to feel forced. You know, one thing that comes to my mind when I read this passage is how often there is unexpected service to the Lord. The text says that he was just passing by. He'd come from the country. He may have been there for the Passover. He was living out of town and living out in the country, and he was just coming into town. He wanted to be a part of the Passover like other Jews, and he was just passing by, just at the right place at the right time, or you might say at the wrong place at the wrong time, depending on how you want to look at that. But it was unexpected. Brethren, I want you to think about from day to day when you get up, there's going to be something during that day where you could serve Christ, and you don't even know it when you get up. When Simon got up that morning, he wasn't thinking about bearing a cross. It was unexpected. He's just passing by. There are people throughout the day that you might be able to help. There are situations throughout the day where you might be able to help. Unexpected service. Now, if I'm sitting around doing nothing all day long, there's probably not going to be any unexpected service. But if I'm living like Christ wants me to live, and I'm out and about, and I'm doing what I need to be doing as a Christian, there's going to come up situations where I can help people. And what a great thing that is. Just passing by. And it came up. There are going to be people that you can help and things that you need to do. If we're asking the right questions throughout the day, there's going to be unexpected service. If we're doing the right actions throughout the day, there's going to be unexpected service. Then I also think about Simon of Cyrene in that there was humble service. He didn't resist. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to do this. He didn't fight off the Roman soldiers and say, this is not going to happen. He just simply took up his cross. Yes, he was forced. But he humbly did this act. We need humble service in our lives. Today, the younger generation is being trained on, no, I'm not going to do that. You can't make me do that. I'm not going to do that. And we need humble service to the Lord. That's below me. I'm not going to get my hands dirty doing that. I've been playing video games all day long. Don't expect me to do anything like that. You see? And people are growing soft today, and people are growing lazy and soft and easygoing, and nobody wants to do any hard work anymore. And so they force this man, and he humbly takes up the cross of Jesus. If we're not careful, brethren, we will have this entitlement attitude where we say, that's not for me. I deserve better. Simon didn't say that. Simon just took up the cross. And then number three, I think about how that this is distinctive service. Can you imagine going down in the sacred writings of all time as being the one and only man that helped Jesus carry his cross? Wow. The distinction of that. Because he was willing to do what he needed to do. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God is taking account of your actions and your deeds. And what is it going to be said at the end of our life? Is there going to be any distinction there? Will it be said in our life that we did this or did that? Where it stands out. We've had some funerals lately. What's going to be said at your funeral? What's going to be said at mine? Will there be anything of distinction said there? Will there be anything that stands out? You decide that now, so do I. Let it be said at our funeral that there was something distinctive about us that we did that stands out in our service to the Lord. But then last of all, and that's the heart of our lesson this morning, I want us to consider that his service was also forced. He was compelled. I like the word pressed. Better. Compel can send the idea of, well, eventually I was won over. You know, when somebody compels you with an argument or someone compels you with an offer, I like the word pressed better. That's what was going on here. He was made to do this. And so, let's consider that this morning. When you look at Simon and when you look at Jesus, one was forced. He was forced to carry a cross. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for us. I lay it down and I will take it again, he said in John chapter 10. Simon was forced to bear a cross, but Jesus bore our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2. He bore our sins upon that cross. And what a great sacrifice that was for us, and hopefully we were thinking about that when we took the Lord's Supper this morning. Make sure each Sunday when we take that bread and that fruit of the vine that we are truly discerning the body and the blood of Jesus and consider what he did for us. Always think about that. Simon gave up his time, but Jesus gave up his life. Again, young people, would you have even have taken that on? Would you have bore that cross? Would I have bore that cross? Would we have given up our time? Would we have given up our physical strength? Would we have given up our service? Simon fulfilled a duty. The Roman soldiers said, carry this cross, and he had to carry it. Jesus fulfilled love. He told his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus was willing to do that. And so there's a contrast in these two men. And there's also a contrast today. Man forces people to do things. Jesus invites. There are people today, as I said at the beginning of the lesson, that will force you into service. And unfortunately, that is going on and it's sad. And I hope that we can get that out of our society and our world, but I guess it will always be there. Jesus does not force you. He invites you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's going to invite. He's not going to force his way into your life or mine. And in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, with the worldly church at Laodicea, he says, I stand at the door of your heart. I stand at the door and knock. You can let him in or not. He's not going to force his way in. Sometimes law enforcement has to force their way in. You've seen that maybe. Sometimes DEA and FBI and those kind of enforcement agencies take a battering ram and they bust your door down and they force their way in to seize the bad guy. Jesus is not going to do that. He invites. Will you accept the invitation into your heart or not? We can resist and we can shake our fist and we can put up a fight, but Jesus is not going to force his way into your heart. He doesn't want that kind of service. Men force themselves on others, but Jesus influences others. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Walk while you have the light. I'm here to influence you. I'm here to teach you. But I'm not going to force you to read my Bible every day. I'm not going to force you to do that. I'm not going to force you to be at church services. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I think as parents, it's best when our children are little to develop habits in their life early on where they learn to do things. And sometimes when they're real little, you just have to make them do certain things. You need to eat right, and you need to dress right, and you need to be at services with me. And so we have more of a compulsion there about it. But hopefully when they get older, they've learned to do it now because they love the Lord. Jesus doesn't force. He invites and he influences. And another thing that he does is he won't force. He offers warnings. Fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. He will offer warnings. He will tell you in the Word of God, the alternative, when we don't live right, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and there's going to be hellfire at the end of that road. And he offers warnings, but he's not going to force you to stay off the broad road that leads to eternal destruction. He's not going to force you. You ever been driving down a road and you're forced to go a different way? That happens from time to time. The barricades are set up. You don't have a choice. Now, if you can bust through the barricade if you want, but you're probably going to end up, you know, running off the end of a bridge that's no longer connected or whatever they're working on. You ever been forced to turn off and go a different direction? That's for our good. But Jesus doesn't force us. He doesn't force us. He promises rewards. If you'll follow me, no one will be able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. There are so many promises that Jesus gives, but he's not going to force us. He gives us our free will. But Simon wasn't given a choice. He was pressed into service. And I'm concerned, brethren, today that some in the Lord's church feel the same way. And here's the problem, brethren. If we feel like we are serving because we are forced to serve, here's the problem. First of all, you're going to be unhappy. You're not going to like being a Christian. You're going to be grumpy all the time. You're not going to like being here. Everything is bad. The world's out against you. The preacher's bad. The sermon's bad. This is bad. That's bad. Everything's bad, and we're always unhappy. When we do things for the Lord and we have this sense of I'm being forced to do it, first of all, we're just unhappy. And we make other people around us unhappy. Secondly, we develop resentment. Where I don't want to be here, I don't really like being here, and I'm upset at the ones who are making me to be here. My spouse wants me here, or my parents want me here, or somebody else wants me here. I really don't want to be here, but I'll show up. You know, I'm not really happy. I'll just go through the motions, and let's get this over with. Have you ever gone to an appointment that you were forced to go to? I've had that happen. Have you ever had that happen? You're forced to go through a particular arrangement. You really don't want to be there, and you're looking at your watch going, man, as soon as I can get out of here, I want to be out of here. Resentment can creep into your life and mine when we have this feeling of being forced. And I've known of this, where so-called brethren in the Lord's church start causing trouble in the local church. Because they're unhappy, they're causing trouble, they're always divisive. They're always complaining about this and murmuring about that, which, by the way, Paul said don't do that in Philippians 2:14. But we're always doing that, and we don't like the elders, and we don't like this, and we don't like that. I bet if you were to examine and poke around a little bit in their thoughts, they would probably have some thoughts about, I feel like I'm being forced to do this. Or I come just enough to get my quota in. And then I've known of this, and it doesn't take long, that a person who's constantly feeling like they're forced to do this or that, they will stop and quit altogether. After a little while, they just don't come at all. Brethren, we don't want these things in our life. We want to be here because we love the Lord, because we appreciate what He's done for us, that we're constantly having a sense of gratitude, and we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. So let me ask you this morning. If you need to be baptized into Christ, do you feel forced? Do you feel forced? Do people feel forced to be converted? You don't want to feel forced. You want to do it because you love the Lord and your sin is bad, and you want that washed away in baptism. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. It is true that in the first recorded gospel sermon and those who became the New Testament church, it is true that Peter exhorted them saying, save yourselves. I believe we need to exhort. I believe that we need to press the point of being baptized for the remission of sins. And I will always try to do that from this pulpit. An invitation should never be chalant or casual or maybe missing altogether. We need to exhort and say to someone, save yourselves, verse 41. But at some point, you want to get to the point where you're doing this because you love the gospel message. We don't need to be forced into a conversion. Neither do we need to be forced with regard to our attendance or praying on a regular basis or reading our Bible. I'm glad that we ask for daily Bible readers, but I don't need to read my Bible because of someone asking for the show of hands on Sunday. I need to read my Bible because I love the Word of God. I love to learn something new each day. I love to discover something. I'm enjoying reading through the book of Proverbs with some of you, and we've been talking about that on a daily basis in our texting, and I enjoy reading and learning and seeing new observations, and sometimes you'll share those with me, and I'm like, well, that's a good point. Because we love to learn, we love to grow. That's why we read, not because I have to get my Bible class lesson. We don't want to feel pressed, brethren. We want to do it voluntarily. And when we have an opportunity to give or to volunteer or to help others, we want to do that in a way that is not forced or pressed. Look with me at the little book of Philemon. And I need to change my abbreviation there because it looks like Philippians. Turn with me to the little book of Philemon, where Paul wanted Philemon to accept Onesimus back from a sense of desire and longing, not from a sense of Paul forcing him to do it. Paul said that he would like to for Philemon, the slave owner, to accept Onesimus, the slave, back. Verse 14, "But without my mind I would do nothing, that thy goodness should not be of necessity, but of free will." Our goodness in responding and doing good things for others doesn't need to be out of necessity because we're forced to, but of goodwill. When we volunteer to serve, when we in the local congregation here at Warfield, it needs to be because of free will, because we love to, we want to help. Look with me with regard to the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, the service of elders. 1 Peter 5, 2, "Tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight." Look at this. Not of constraint. Not because you're forced to, but willingly, according to the will of God, not yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not because you feel like you're forced to, but because you willingly desire to help the flock of God. And as men, younger men need to be thinking about being qualified one day to be a deacon and be an elder, but not because we're forced to, but because we lovingly want to engage in these roles in order to help the Lord in the local congregation for the organization that He has. So when it comes to serving others, it doesn't need to be of necessity, but of a willing or ready mind. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. What about our worship to God? Anytime we have an opportunity to come here and worship God, and even things that we can do at home, there are things at home we can sing and pray and study the Word of God at home. Some things must be done here. The Lord's Supper is a together activity, and the contribution is a together activity. But our worship to God, whether outside the service or here, how do you feel about that? Each time we get in our car, and I'm pretty certain everybody's driving here, I don't think anybody's walking. Overseas, it's the opposite. Everybody walks, and hardly anybody has a car. But when we get in our car to come here, our thinking needs to be, I love the Lord, and I want to worship Him. It had gotten to be a problem in the days of Malachi. This is after the Babylonian captivity. God's people have already come back. The temple has been rebuilt. The walls of Jerusalem have been rebuilt. And unfortunately, God's people have slumped back into sin. And the temple has been rebuilt, Zerubbabel's temple, and they've been coming and bringing the sacrifices. But look at the statement that is made in Malachi 1:13. "Yet you say also, behold, what a weariness it is." Oh, we have to come up here. It's terrible. It's such a weariness. Let's get this over with. "And you have snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you have brought that which was taken by violence, and the lame and the sick." They were supposed to bring animals that were of the first of the flock, the best of their flock. Not the blind and the maimed and the leftover. They were to give God the best. Number one, they're coming up there saying, oh, it's a weariness. And on top of that, they're bringing bad sacrifices, giving God the leftovers and the stuff that they don't want anyway. Or they've taken it from somebody else, that which was taken by violence and the lamb. Hey, give me your lamb. I need a lamb to go up there to the temple. I'm not using my lamb. Give me your lamb. What is that? People who don't really love to come to worship the Lord because they love Him. Let's just get done with it. Let's go through the motions with as little sacrifice as possible. And you bring the sick. Thus you bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand, says Jehovah? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a blemished thing? Shame on you for leaving the good animals at home and waltzing up here acting like you're giving God the best. Shame on you. You don't think God sees that, Malachi says? For I am a great king, says Jehovah of hosts, and my name is terrible among the Gentiles. Terrible. Go back to verse 8. Present it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or will he accept thy person? Try that with another human being. He wouldn't accept that kind of a worthless sacrifice, and you're trying to pawn that off on me as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brethren, we need to come because we love the Lord. And we need to be here because we love the Lord, and we need to enjoy it while we're here, and we need to strive to come back at any opportunity. The singing and the prayers and the study and all that we do should encourage us and want us to come back as soon as possible. What about our giving? Let's look at a passage that we commonly read around the table with regard to the collection in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The contribution needs to be something where we lovingly and willingly give. Is it a command? Yes. Paul commanded it of the brethren, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. As I gave order to the churches of Galatia. It was an order. It was a command. Yes. But it's supposed to be something that comes from our own love and desire and willingness. And so Paul reminds them, not grudgingly, literally of sorrow. Oh, I'm giving up my money. Oh, I'm not going to see it again. Oh, it's terrible. Not grudgingly, not sorrowful. Or of necessity. This is the idea of being forced. For God loves a cheerful giver. That's where it's to come from. I'm so happy that my contribution, my money, the elders are going to oversee that, and it's going to go to evangelism, edification, or benevolence toward needy saints. And in those three areas, I am supporting that locally and overseas, and I am so grateful that I can help the Lord's work. Not grudgingly or of necessity. And so, brethren, that's the service that we need to be bringing to Christ. Look at our submission to the elders in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Well, I need to behave because I'm being forced to. No. I'm glad we have elders. I appreciate the three elders that we have, and all of us need to appreciate them and the work that they do. And the Hebrew writer reminds, brethren, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them. So it is something that we must do. For they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Groaning. For this were unprofitable for you. That they may do this with joy and not with grief. I hope that it is not the case here. I have known it to be the case in other places. My father-in-law served as an elder for many, many years. But you can have a situation where elders are dealing with a member in the church, and it's not a joyous thing. That member is not living right. They won't change. And there is sorrow and grief over having to deal with them. Brethren, let's not be a member of the church where the elders have to take that approach with us. We need to be someone who they feel joy with working with us, not grief. Why? For this were unprofitable for you. You brethren, you do not want a situation where it's a constant grief between you and the elders. You don't want that. And I've seen that happen. And there's division and fussing and fighting, and we'll just leave, and there's all that that goes on. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help your children. The children eventually find out about it. Well, why did mom and dad leave? They find out about it. It's unprofitable for you in so many ways. We want a relationship where we are obeying and serving, and there's a joyous relationship. So, brethren, what we want is, we want a voluntary service, not a forced service. If any man would come unto me, it's an invitation. We have a choice. Simon didn't. Simon didn't have a choice. He was forced. We do. If any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily, Jesus adds in Luke 9:23, and follow me. And in the great discipleship passage of Luke chapter 14, Jesus says a similar thing. Whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Simon didn't have a choice. We do. Let's have happy service. Let's have service that is not filled with resentment, that is not filled with causing trouble for our fellow brethren. Let's not have a service where we eventually just stop and quit altogether. And I would just close with these two points. To keep us from this "I have to" service, consider what God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have done for us. All the good that they have done for us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul mentions another kind of compulsion here that I'd like to bring up. Paul mentions a kind of compulsion that's kind of a good compulsion. Paul is talking about how that Jesus died for us. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ, and I take that to mean Christ's love for us, for the love of Christ constrains us. That's another kind of compulsion that's a good kind. But it's the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that one died for all, Jesus. Therefore all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him for whose sakes died and rose again. We are living for Christ because he loved us. And that's what constrains us, Paul says. That's what keeps me being faithful. That's what keeps me serving the Lord. That is a good kind of constraint. And it's the love of Christ. When we recognize what he's done for us, we're going to want to live for him. And then last of all, just consider your own happiness. We're more happy when we do things voluntarily than when we are forced to. Just consider your own mental state. Your own mental state. Do you want to be happier? You want to be happier? We all do. It comes by voluntarily loving and serving the Lord. But if we go from day to day in this forced state, we will just never be happy. We'll never grow. We'll never get better. We'll never save our family. We'll never help others around us. Simon didn't have a choice. We do. Let us lovingly accept that choice. If we can help someone this morning to be baptized into Christ, just lovingly come forward and accept that great invitation. One day it won't be there anymore. As a child of God who's erred, lovingly come back to the Lord. And those of you who are serving the Lord, let us, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13, let us go to Jesus outside the camp, bearing his reproach.
with our head up, lovingly wanting to serve and be on the side of Jesus each and every day. If we can help you to make your life right, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?